Hi there. You're listening to the Voice with Action podcast. I am your host, Deb Balico.
And I am Rebecca Pratt, co-founder and president of Orphan Relief and Rescue. Tune in to be awakened and inspired to take action towards what you were created to do in this world, to live fully alive.
Hello, and welcome to the Voice with Action podcast. I am Deb Balico, and I'm here with Rebecca Pratt. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
And we just recently heard about an orphanage that was actually trafficking 25 children and exploiting these children to make money off of them. And there's an ongoing investigation to try and learn from the orphanage director exactly what is going on here and with the intent to free these children. So we wanted to bring this story to you all to share kind of how Orphan Relief and Rescue has been involved in this, how it was even brought to our attention, and some of the patterns that we see with traffickers in these different countries, that it might not be what you expect, and some red flags that we see. So Rebecca, would you start us off with kind of how did you even begin? How did you even know that this orphanage was trafficking children?
Yeah, so we're not going to say the name of the country or anything because it is an ongoing investigation. And I'm not going to say, you know, the exact details of how we found out. But basically, I got an email with somebody who works in a country where we have a team. And, you know, they alerted us that there is a woman who is trafficking, you know, these 25 kids. And can we connect her to the right people to have this investigated? So I connected her to my team there in that particular country, and an investigation immediately began with these different government officials. What was also interesting as I was thinking about, okay, I've talked to so many of these orphanage directors that have started these orphanages as a business. And, you know, it's crazy because I can just even envision exact words that this woman is going to say, you know, when the police come and the different social welfare office people come and interrogate her, basically, and talk to her. She's going to say, yes, I did. I went to the families that are suffering and they could not feed their children, or they were having a very difficult time. And so I brought them into my home to start an orphanage. And yes, you know, it's true. I can't really feed them either right now. So I'm going to just make them work in my little shop, you know, so that they can earn money so that we can feed them. And then I'm going to share their stories about how needy they are on Facebook and Instagram. And, you know, I'm going to email people in America, and Americans will give, because this is what they do. This is what my friend down the road did, and they got lots of money for it. So I know that very soon I will get money to school them and to feed them, and they're going to be very well taken care of. So yes, right now you're seeing that they are suffering, but you know, they were suffering at home too. So it's okay. Very soon they won't be suffering like this. So this is the justification that we see in these different ones, that it's a business opportunity for them. They're looking at it as a business and only as a business. They also don't value life. And so, you know, yes, they're keeping the kids at close to starvation mode and just feeding them a little bit while they're working in their little shop, you know, to get little money, you know, for them. But they're also beating these kids every single day, and it's part of a submission thing. But for them, they're like, well, if I don't beat them, they're going to be disobedient and they might run away and leave me, you know, and go back to their bush, and I can't have that. So they beat them to bring them into submission. And at the same time, they're justifying this whole thing because if these kids can just hold on a little bit, you know, their life will be better, because her intention is to give them a better life. Yet at the same time, we know that when money does start coming in from the West, because this is what happens, that woman is so selfish that a little bit will go to those kids, just enough to keep them alive and to, yes, pay their school fees. But then she is going to continue to beat them, and she's not going to have any value or care for them. So our goal is always to you know, number one, help them understand that this is illegal. You're not allowed to do this in the country. I really felt like I wanted to do this podcast because I also want us to know on the Western side, you know, we get these emails, we get these Instagrams, we see these pictures of these kids that are just suffering, and we get the stories from these orphanage directors. And I'm not saying every single orphanage director is doing this, but, you know, in the work that I've been doing this work now for 20 years, and I would say 80% of orphanages in Africa in particular, because that's what I'm used to seeing, are corrupt, are people using the kids as a business. And sure, their intention is to, you know, put them into school and, you know, to feed them and all that, but they're going to be beating them. There's going to be lots of abuses that happen, and they still are better off with their families. So I'm hoping this woman is made an example, you know, through the government doing their job, and that she is put into jail as an example. Is she a bad person? I really feel like it's kind of all she knows. You know, she's watched her friends do this, or she's watched somebody do it. And so she's just repeating what she's seen that works. And she's in poverty herself. So she's like, okay, you know, this is going to be a great business. And so it worked for this person, and it'll work for me. And, you know, that's how a lot of these orphanages came into existence when we first started this work years ago.
When you say orphanage, these kids aren't true orphans. I mean, they have families that are extremely poor. And so this director is going to these families and promising a better life for them, promising them food. Give me your child. I will, in a sense, be able to exploit your child, make money off of your child. And sure, I'll use some of that. I'll send them to school, or I'll give them some money. But they're taken away from their families. So it's different from the individual trafficking of a child. This is more, in a sense, where it's an orphanage setting, even though the children aren't true orphans. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. So it shouldn't even technically be called an orphanage. It'd be, you know, should be called a children's home, because, yeah, most of them have at least one parent alive, if not both. The goal is to reunify all those kids back with their families, make an example of this woman, and, you know, pray that she learns a lesson, doesn't do it again, but that everybody around her sees the example that you will go to jail if this happens to you. And so, you know, we do have an educational program as well in schools and orphanages called Break the Silence. And that is teaching kids in schools and orphanages what trafficking is, what abuse is, you know, training teachers as well in communities of just that trafficking word. They're not familiar with what that is. And, you know, education is key in those areas in particular. And then, you know, there is a difference between the children that a trafficker is going to an individual family and, you know, saying, if you give us a child, we'll give you $100 a year for that child. And since you're having a hard time feeding them, you know, we have a place where they can work for their own keep. So that's a different scenario, where it's an individual being taken to a family or a farm or some other, you know, situation that they're trafficked into. And there's an exchange of money with those families. So trafficking into an orphanage is a different trafficking than we see with individuals that are going to get money in exchange for that. But it's all, you know, literally personal gain for whoever's trafficking them, as well as harming, obviously, the children. And they're in the form of slavery in either scenario with that. And the key for us on the West is to not be giving money to these Facebook, Instagram pleas that we see come through, because we don't know what's happening on the other side. We don't know the heart behind it. I always say, I personally never give through those outlets ever. And if I hear of a situation and I know of anybody who's in that realm from the West, or somebody that I trust in those countries, then I connect with them to see, go check it out, number one, and check, you know, see what's actually going on. But, you know, linking arms with the social welfare office as well. One of the countries that we first began when we worked, this was in 2007, and we went to the government, the social welfare office, and we asked, first of all, can you give us the list of the orphanages that you feel are honest orphanages in this country? Now, they didn't know which ones were honest and which ones weren't. And that's why we came into that country and just started helping them do investigations with each of those orphanages and then help them with an accreditation system to put accreditation. It had to be a healthy situation with that orphanage home. And if they were accredited, then the government said, you know, we endorse them as they're a healthy orphanage. And if they're not accredited, you know, then they'll be under investigation and we'll work to close them down or work to help them get accredited. So that was the early days of just weeding through this massive amount of orphanages. That at that one country, it was over 141, you know, orphanages. And but with that accreditation system, we also found out that many of these orphans were not orphans. They all had a parent or two alive. And so then we helped the government put together a reunification system so that they could reunify these kids back into the villages as well. And so we have a great relationship with the governments in the countries that we do work, and we work very closely with the social welfare office. So whenever I hear of a troubled situation or a plea of, you know, all our kids are dying or whatever, I try to have somebody who is connected with that social welfare office for them to, you know, if I'm not in that country to, or none of our staff are, that they would personally go to the social welfare office and ask about that particular orphanage and see what the situation is. And the social welfare office, I mean, they have nightmare stories after nightmare stories. There was one gentleman in America that sent over $700,000 to one orphanage, and he came to visit like 2 years later. They were supposed to like build this state-of-the-art orphanage with his money. They came and found out that all these kids were recruited in from the Ivory Coast and Ghana and all these other places. And so the kids were a mixture of speaking French and English. And I think some came even from Sierra Leone. And so it was crazy, all the different, you know, dialects of English and everything. But these social welfare office workers, they said it was a nightmare. He had so many kids that were trafficked in, and he had this tons of money from this man. So this man, when he came to visit, he was trying to figure out who were legitimate, who wasn't, where did his money actually go? And he went to the social welfare office and just told them, you know, what are you doing as the government to make sure that, you know, these kids are protected? And they had no, they were kind of mortified that they didn't know about it, number one, but that it ended up being a trafficking ring. They had to literally reunify all these kids back into their countries where they came from. And then they told us, you know, please tell everybody in America and Europe not to send money to these people. Please don't send money. You know, they're helping bad people, you know. That was kind of our entrance into these countries in those early years of just seeing the exploitation really of these precious kids. And yeah, it was shocking. But linking arms with the social welfare office in whatever country we're in is key. And if, you know, you're a nonprofit listening to this, that's the key, is link arms with the social welfare office in that area. And they have a resource of information. They know what's really going on in their country. And if they don't, they can do an investigation. You know, you can say, I saw this person pleading for money. Can you tell me about that orphanage? Mm-hmm. And they'll get their list out. And if it's not on that list, then they'll go check it out for you and let you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it is doing homework, because it's not easy to get an email, you know, to the credible person there. So it's trying to find somebody who knows those areas, works in the areas, a credible organization in those areas that is linked with the social welfare office, so that you can get proper information. And then, yeah, reporting, like this woman did. She reported when she saw, this doesn't look right. You know, 25 kids are now in an orphanage. This doesn't look right. Mm-hmm. And so her reporting it literally is saving these 25 kids' lives. But yeah, so that's, you know, really my encouragement on this side is, let's go with our eyes wide open and whatever we do, and not be, I guess, manipulated by these posts that we see. Nothing is as it seems online. If it seems, yeah, just pretty terrible and we feel burdened for it, then, you know, my encouragement is find somebody in those countries that you can link arms with that you know is credible and honest.
Yeah, I wanted to say too, just an explanation too about Orphan Relief and Rescue's history and even the origin of our name was that back, you know, in 2007, this list of 141 orphanages that the staff had to go through and work with the government to make sure that they were credited. How many of those, Rebecca, ended up actually being accredited orphanages with, you know, legit orphans that then we helped make those orphanages self-sustaining? Do you remember how many out of the 141?
Yeah, I would say probably 50% needed to be mm-hmm. closed. They were like on a closure list after investigations because they were just using the kids as a business. We personally, with Orphan Relief and Rescue, helped four get up to certified conditions that we just felt drawn to help. And they were incredible directors that really did love the kids, had the best intention for them. And so, yeah, also helped those directors start businesses so they could provide for the kids within their orphanages. But yeah, it's a low number. It's a low percentage of credible homes mm-hmm. that I would say are worthy of your finances, really. And even then, we had to oversee every bit of the finances in, you know, whether it was a reconstruction of their orphanage or putting in wells or a new dormitory or, you know, bunk beds or whatever. The oversight had to always be very strong there.
And that's part of why we moved on from the orphanage, focusing on orphanages. You know, the government wanted us to make more orphanages, but we really focused more on the community, reunifying kids to their families. Then how can we support the families with small businesses to care for their families so that they're not in these desperate situations to send their children away or be vulnerable to a trafficker? Rebecca, so the purpose of this podcast was to really show people in America or in Europe, you know, what would be a red flag? Could you give an example? You know, if they saw something on Facebook, on Instagram that really tugged at their heartstrings and they were like, oh my goodness, I'm so compelled to help this person. What would you recommend that they do? Where should they start researching to make sure, you know, that this plea, this request is connected to an accredited NGO within the country that is connected to the social welfare department in that country? How would you recommend they begin researching?
Yeah, so I would look at organizations that are from the West working there that, you know, even on, you know, just Googling the organizations that work in those areas and then reaching out within their organization and asking them if they know, you know, how you could get connected to the social welfare office and to get an email from the social welfare office. So it is, you can generically find, you know, emails to the social welfare office, child protection division in these different countries, but you probably won't get a response. It usually is somebody that knows, you know, that you can find out through them getting you the right contact. So it is doing a little research on who's credible in those countries from the West that can connect you to somebody in the social welfare office there and do it that way. And that's really how I started. You know, I didn't know anything when we first started this work. And it was really talking to people who already worked in the country and just starting to educate myself through talking to people who were honest, credible people from the West in particular that were going to give me the real deal of what was actually happening within that country, within the orphanage realm or the children who I would see all these pleas for. And then it was taking a visit to the social welfare office in that country and going into the office. Now, personally, I felt prompted by the Lord to jump on an airplane and go, which scared me to death. But I had already worked with my family in Africa for 2 years, so I knew it was possible to do that. But this wasn't something I set out to do quickly. It was something that I just thought, well, I'll do my research and see what happens, you know. So I did go, I went into the social welfare office and I started building relationships with them in the office. And then I found out the real deal of what was actually happening in their country with these orphanages, with the situations with these kids. And then it was like, okay, I can maybe affect a little change by building relationships with these different directors and going from there. So yeah, God gives you a strategy according to what he asks you to do. But my biggest thing that I tell people is, you know, just please be wise. You know, I'm going through Proverbs right now. And, you know, it's constantly wise, wise, wise. It's all about gaining wisdom, gaining understanding, you know, not just going with the wind and just our emotions. And we're drawn to all of this, you know, helping others, and we want to do a good thing. And yet sometimes our helping really does hurt, and we don't want to hurt these kids anymore. We don't want them to be under really terrible people, you know, who are exploiting them. And so, yeah, it's just having wisdom and discernment and doing some research and talking to the right people. Yes. Yeah.
Take time to do the research. If your heartstring is tugged, and use wisdom. And if you have any questions, you're welcome to email info@orphanreliefandrescue.org. Any questions for our organizations? Or we do have a lot of connections in West Africa. And so please reach out if you have a specific question, if you see a red flag, concerns within the country that you may be working. And we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Voice with Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing or subscribing to this podcast and leave a 5-star review to help us grow? If you want to reach us or help us end child trafficking in West Africa, go to orphanreliefandrescue.org. That's orphanreliefandrescue.org. See you next week.